Aucklanders affected by slips on their properties are being warned to expect a lengthy wait for any remedial work to be done. Hills and cliffs around any number of suburbs in the city have been subject to landslides from this week's heavy rain, and that's left homes above, below or beside those slips with red or yellow stickers from Auckland Council. So what were the worst affected areas? What makes a property particularly vulnerable to slips? Are there any warning signs one is imminent? And if so, is there anything you can do? Paul Fletcher is associate at geotechnical engineering firm NGO, and he's been out assessing slips around Auckland. Kia ora, Paul. Thanks very much for being with us.
Hi, Catherine.
And first, just to give people some realistic expectations, this is epic in scale in every way, Paul, and that includes EQC assessors trying to get around the place. What should people anticipate by means of a process?
So the council assessors come around quite rapidly. They've been doing a great job in scaling up the size of the team to get out and around the Auckland properties. Once that initial process happens, then there'll be the EQC assessors, which will come out generally within 4 to 6 weeks, although that may extend out as the number of cases and claims increase. And then following that, resolution of the claims can be months after that.
So it is a big and a thorough process, and we keep using that word unprecedented, but when it comes to the scale of these slips in Auckland, that's what we're looking at. Can you give us an idea of what your weeks look like? What have you been out doing and what have you seen?
Well, it's been a very exciting week. So the week started with obviously the same as everyone else in Auckland, cleaning up my own house, mopping out the basement after the driveway turned into a flood. And then once the work week started, we were rapidly called out to a number of sites around Auckland, everywhere from the North Shore to our east to the volcanic cones in central Auckland. I've been assessing a large number of slips around pretty much everywhere in Auckland, really.
How does what you do differ from EQC and council assessors?
So geotechnical engineers are involved in all of those processes. So the council assessors is usually a team of a structural engineer and a geotechnical engineer, and then a council person, so that you can cover all of the bases around what damage may have occurred to the house and whether it is safe to remain in it. And that's how the white, yellow and red sticker system operates. Then beyond that, when you get to EQC, it's normally a geotechnical engineer or an engineering geologist who will come out to your site. They'll collect all the factual data from the site, things like the dimensions of the slip, take photos, record where the water courses are, get an idea of the rate of movement, the volume of the failure, basically collecting all the factual information required. And that goes back and becomes a report, which leads into basically describing what's happened and then what can be done about it in a conceptual sense, which will lead on to a detailed geotechnical investigation and design of remedial measures.
Can you explain what or give us an overview, really, of the slips in Auckland? We've obviously seen them widespread, but some areas particularly hard hit, particularly dramatically hit. And is there a logic to that? Could you speak to some of the main areas and the factors that may be a contributor?
I guess there's a couple of, well, predominantly it comes back to the slope of the ground. Anywhere where you have steeply sloping ground and a large volume of water to saturate the steeply sloping ground, you'll end up with slips. So that comes to places like the Waitakere Ranges at Titirangi, the failures that we've seen there. Also comes to the volcanic cones around Auckland, Mount Albert. A number of different cones around Auckland have also suffered slope failures. And then we get to the clifftop properties, which are probably the most dramatic ones, where, you know, a large section of the cliff collapses and it either removes support from the property above or comes down and inundates the property below. So generally, it all comes back to sloping ground and steeply sloping ground.
How much does poor drainage or poorly maintained drainage systems play a part in slips? We've seen residents in particular areas complaining they felt this had contributed to their slips. Are they right?
certainly the amount and the volume of water coming into the soil and onto a slope definitely affects whether it will slip or not. I guess there's a whole different realm of stormwater design and how well that system is designed and maintained. That's sort of outside my ability to comment on. But certainly within people's individual properties, we've noticed a lot of the slips have been caused where overland flow stormwater has been channeled into one particular part of a slope. And while that is convenient for a homeowner, they manage to get rid of all the water and it goes away. Disposing of stormwater onto a steep slope is a real problem in terms of saturating the soil, and it often creates the slips that you'll see, the rapid landslide slips.
Goodness, that is interesting for people to take on board going forward. Are there warning signs before a slip happens? Cracks or water where it usually isn't? Are there in some instances, if not many instances, some signs to look out for?
Yeah, sure. It depends on the type of landslide as well. There are rapid landslides where you've just got water concentrating into an area, saturates the slope, and it goes down the hill as a flow. So that sort of thing, you won't get a lot of notice. It'll become saturated and then it will go. Whereas the larger landslips, the slower moving ones, you'll see things like surface cracking or bulging. Often you see that in the roads out west. You see cracks that form parallel to the slope and sort of gaps opening between the curb and the asphalt. In your house, you might see cracked masonry or cracks through your brickwork, sticking doors and windows, displaced retaining walls. All of those are signs that the ground is moving.
Is there anything that homeowners can do then if they see these signs, or alternatively, is there anything they can do to try and reduce risk of landslide on their property?
Yeah, so the number one recommendation would be to basically to take notice of where their stormwater goes. And often in these sorts of events where the amount of water is relatively unprecedented, you'll find water in places where it's never been before. And that's, in that way, it's quite useful to actually go outside with your umbrella or your raincoat and have a look at where the water actually flows through your property. See where it's coming from, see where it's going to, and then you can, obviously if that's going onto a steep slope and saturating it, you want to divert that so that it doesn't go on. I mean, obviously you have to get rid of it somewhere. It's got gravity, it's always going to be going downhill, but you want to divert it so that it doesn't go onto a steep slope directly below your house or directly above somebody else's house either in that case.
If you have a slip in your backyard right now, obviously some of these are enormous in scale, but others perhaps less so, and someone is wondering, what do I do? What are the do's and don'ts if you're in this situation?
So the council assessors should be out. They've been doing a wonderful job and working very hard getting around Auckland to inspect sites. So that's your first port of call. Get the assessors out there, and then you'll know whether it's safe to occupy the house. So obviously, life safety is the most important thing in this case. Losing property is traumatic, and it's really horrible for people, but losing lives is really what we're trying to avoid. So the first step is to get the council team out there. And then if there is a real risk to the house in a geotechnical sense from a slip, then there'll often be a follow-up geotechnical assessment just to determine in a bit more detail what's going on there, and if there's any urgent remedial works that need to be undertaken to prevent any further damage. Once you get beyond that step, then you can talk to a geotechnical engineer. Auckland Council maintain a register of chartered engineers and chartered geologists on their website. You can talk to a geotechnical engineering company and get an opinion on where to go from there.
Obviously, a lot of people, that expense is going to be a barrier, but regrettably, you need to be upfront. In many instances, this won't be a quick fix. There might be all sorts of measures to take, whether it's retaining walls or different kinds of measures to take, but it's not going to be done next week, that's for sure. Could you also explain when the risk of slip or slips subside? I mean, the ground around Auckland is still very wet. I think there was some fresh flooding again in some parts this morning. And even if the rain stops, is there still a chance the ground could still move? What kind of a, you know, path ahead is there for the sodden city after this incredible event?
Yes, so a lot of that comes back to the soil types around Auckland. Most of Auckland is underlain by Waitemata Group East Coast Bays, which is a residual soil weathered from the underlying sandstone and mudstone. You'll see that in the cliffs around Manukau Harbour or out at Mission Bay. So it's quite a heavy clay. Once the water gets into that heavy clay, it takes a long time to drain out. It's very low permeability. The water doesn't travel through the clay quickly. So once it's become saturated, it takes a long time for it to drain. Areas like the volcanic cones are in a better situation where they're underlain often by scoria or basalt rock, and so they'll drain quicker, and the risk of further slips decreases a lot quicker in those areas where they can drain, as opposed to the clay slopes where they'll stay wet for quite a period of time.
For people in this situation right now, I know you've given a lot of information here, Paul, but just to help them out step by step, again, for the immediate and then for the medium term, your advice?
Yes, immediately, it depends if they've had a slip or if they're worried about a slip. If you're worried about a slip, I would say your first step would be to talk to a geotechnical professional and tee up someone to come to your site and do a rapid assessment. If you already have land movement, a landslide or a slip on your site, then the council should be out or should have been out already and do the rapid assessment. They will sticker the property and say whether the house is safe to occupy or to visit. Beyond that, if there has been damage due to landslips, then you'll have the EQC assessors out. They will take, you know, a period of time, a month or a couple of months to get to you because, yeah, they are very busy. And there's only so many, people that can do that work. And then, following on beyond that, there's design of remedial structures and consenting of remedial structures, and then there'll be construction. So it is quite a long, drawn-out process, and people have to be prepared for that.
Thank you for your time. That is Paul Fletcher, and he is an associate at geotechnical engineering firm NGO. He has been out assessing slips all around Auckland, as well as so many of his colleagues dealing with events at their own homes, of course, as have so many of the responders this week.